Hello again, everybody. This is the Common Sense American. And first of all, let me apologize, because last week I said I wouldn't do a coronavirus podcast. I think I meant it at the time, but it was probably interpreted that I never would do one. And frankly, I wasn't really planning to, but the bottom line is this has just gotten too big. We have to talk about it, or I do at any rate. And no one can seem to talk about anything else. However, what I would like to do is focus on two key points, and these two things, I don't believe you have heard them. I mean, of all the things that you've heard, of everything that we've heard concerning the virus and the origins and the spread and everything, and people's take on it, I like to think that I am about to talk about two things that, well, they're not never spoken about, but they're not spoken about anywhere near enough. And the first thing we're going to start with is the media. Now, I know it's pretty well split, just like it always is. This is turning very partisan, just like most other issues. The left is, you know, swearing that the media is doing the right thing and making people aware and blah, blah, blah. And the right is saying they're spreading undue panic and fear and blah, blah, blah. So the question is, who's right, who's wrong? Well, I can tell you one thing. The right-wing people are more in the right. They're not entirely in the right. I don't believe that this was some sort of conspiracy, that it was a bioweapon released, that or that it was some way of taking down Trump. It's coincidental. I don't mind saying that. It's coincidental. The impeachment fails and boom, you've got a virus that attacks everything and goes after the economy. But this is also worldwide. It's hitting, you know, other countries much harder than us, places like Italy and Iran. And, bottom line is, it was inevitable. Based on our ties to China, based on what they've been doing in that country over the past decades, something bad was going to come out of there. Bad things have come out of there. That was almost inevitable as far as I'm concerned. You may find in the future, I would not be surprised to find evidence of certain shady dealings behind this as to whether or not, you know, more that could have been done to stem the tide, Democrats being, you know, secretly happy that this is actually happening because they think it will cost Trump the election, all that kind of thing. And that I don't really question. However, I will say this. Like many of you know, I was part of the mainstream media. I worked in newspapers for several years. I still am a writer, journalist, and editor. More for alternative, quote-unquote, alternative news sources. And I can certainly tell you the difference. I've spoken about the differences before. And I know how journalism works. I know the pitfalls of it, especially today's journalism. And my biggest problem with how they are going about covering this is they have just amped up the sensationalism to immense proportions. It's not that they're spreading fear and panic by spreading misinformation. That's not really what's happening. They're very careful about erring on the side of caution in that way. You know, they're still going to be attacking Trump and saying ridiculous things, and Trump will continue calling them out, and it already has happened. They will spread falsehoods about the president because they have been doing that and will continue to do that. That's not stopping. Obviously, Trump is their Achilles heel. He is their kryptonite. They're just going to keep attacking him no matter what, and they're going to manipulate the truth in anything regards to him. That is a given, and that is the number one issue that we have right now with the media. In terms of how they are reporting things to the public, how they are, you know, supposedly keeping us informed, there is a way of reporting that they have embraced in recent years, which is more tabloid-esque, it's almost more fiction, it's almost more prose. That's the kind of writing it is. There's a lot of emotion involved in it. Now, I've said this many times before, journalism, there can be no emotion, there should be no opinion. Those are the cardinal sins of reporting. The entire purpose of journalism is to simply provide the public with the facts and allow them to judge for themselves. That's the way it was always supposed to be. That is not the way it is now, and this is a clear example of just how far off the rails the media has gotten, because they are writing it, these reports, in very different ways. Like I said, it's not misinformation, but it is misleading. It is designed to foment fear and panic as opposed to hope and optimism. Now, you can do that. It would not be irresponsible to produce the facts as they stand and simply let you judge them and give that an optimistic air. For example, it's all in the wording. It's all in how they phrase things. It's all in how they present these words and terms. It's the order in which they present them. Notice that the first parts of all these articles begin with something that, you know, sounds like a disaster movie, something that sounds like a Stephen King novel. It, you know, markets are tanking around the world. People are desperately scrambling for necessities. And it's not inaccurate to say that obviously stocks are tumbling, obviously people are starting to panic and doing sort of desperate things. That is not misleading. What is misleading is the way that is phrased, right? It is basically saying to you that this is a doomsday scenario, and this is what we're going to hit you with first. We're going to explain to you why it's a doomsday scenario and why you should be scared, as opposed to being hopeful and optimistic. That's the reason why you never see them report on the number of people who have recovered from the virus. You only see the numbers of the people who are infected. Literally hour on the hour updates of the new number of infected in countries and cities around the world and in this country. Endless updates. When's the last time you saw an update for the number of recovered cases, which of course is the majority? When's the last time you heard of the strides that, for example, South Korea and Australia and other countries have successfully taken to fend off the effects of this virus? If you look at it, you would be thinking, okay, we should be looking to these people to see how they're doing. Look, you will notice that there are many parts of this world where they are dealing with this successfully, where they have had successes in fending this off. And here's how they did it, step by step. It's out there. You can find that information, but it's hardly taking center stage. They hardly ever talk about it on CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post and the New York Times. That is not what they're focusing on. They're focusing on the number of affected, the number of dead, the economy toll, the fact that, you know, did they ever even talk about futures rebounding? They're unfortunately going down again today, but they did rebound. And at some point, you have to think, well, why didn't you even at least mention it? And if you had mentioned it, would the economy, would the stock market be continuing to tumble, or would it be starting to rally a little bit? These things have effects, especially when it's such a big deal and everybody is watching this. The media is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are not focusing on all the facts. They are once again cherry-picking the ones that are going to cause the most emotion and get the most attention. Now, I've said this for a long time, and I think we all know it. The media is in trouble in terms of, especially the mainstream media in places like CNN, like the New York Times, they do not have the attention they used to have. They do not have the popularity or respect that they used to have. They're not. They're right on the verge of major layoffs. I don't know if people know this. They probably should. But they are, and they have been for some time. Something like this comes along, it's a life preserver. This is something that they are going to grab on and just run with because it gets them clicks, it gets them listens, it gets them views, it gets them attention. This is what they're using to sell themselves. And how do you sell yourself? You pitch yourself as you would a Hollywood blockbuster disaster movie or a book of a similar nature. This is how you do it. They turn it into entertainment. And why people like to be scared, why people like to be panicky, I don't know, but it always seems to work. And they know it works. This is why they don't focus on the fact that we have, and just announced today, Trump just announced that we have by far and away, they have they're testing the vaccine on humans, human testing. They've already approved it for human testing. By far and away, the fastest that has ever happened in human history for a virus like this. Is that hitting the news? Shouldn't that be front page material? It's accurate. It's news about the virus. It will provide people with a little bit of hope and optimism. Why aren't you talking about it? Why are you constantly focusing on the negative? It's because of you. This is a self-serving move to keep themselves protected, to keep their jobs, and they don't care. They really don't care that they are, in fact, by their own hand, spreading plenty of panic and fear that is not necessary. I am not saying people shouldn't know the truth. I am not saying they shouldn't report on it. I am not saying they shouldn't talk about the number of affected and the number of dead. I am saying they should talk about it on equal terms with the other side of the equation, the good news that's around this. If you ask people today, especially liberals, ask them, like, what's the good news surrounding this? They'll say there isn't any. That there isn't any. That this is like the end of the world. That this is ridiculous. They don't even know what it does. This is another flu where most people who are relatively healthy, they're going to get it. They're going to get over it without being hospitalized, and they're going to build up immunity to it. It's just like any other flu. That's really what it's going to be for the overwhelming majority of people who get it. And who is in danger of it? Obviously, the elderly and the infirm. Like most major diseases, they are at risk, just like any flu, really. Anything that really suppresses, you know, especially if you have a suppressed immune system, things like that, that's who they're going after. And I really hope the media is proud of themselves for doing this self-serving maneuver, because it's really embarrassing that you are, and kind of disgusting, that you're willing to do this to an entire populace just to keep your jobs, which is what this amounts to. Just give us the facts. Give us all the numbers. Tell us everything that's happening. Don't just talk about how Trump failed here, how his doctor is saying 2.2 million Americans could die, how we could have so many such and such. That's everything they're talking about. You may notice 75-80% of what they're projecting are projections, guesses, predictions of the, and all those numbers are absolute worst case scenarios. And they admit it. They say it's a worst case scenario, but that's what they're leading with, isn't it? That's what they're pushing. That's what they slam right on the front page of websites and newspapers. That's what they talk about. That's what their headlines are focusing on. Again, look at the arrangement of the words and how they are presented. We are supposed to be focusing on the doomsday elements of this, and this has created in people the panic and the fear. Like I said, I really hope they're proud of themselves. You're supposed to be professional journalists. You're not acting like it. You give us all the information, not some of it, not the kind that you know is going to get you more attention and more views. No, no, no. You give it to us all and you shut up about the commentary. By the way, you tell us the facts, tell us what's happening, and that's it. You paint a doomsday scenario, and this is exactly what's going to happen. And that's all you want to do. You really do want to ignore all the other statistics, all the other points, which are all valid. I understand you're not wanting to, I'm not talking about downplaying things. I'm simply talking about providing everybody with all the information on an equal footing. That's all. And that's not what they're doing, plain and simple. That's point one. Point two, and not a lot of people are talking about this. I don't believe this virus would be doing anywhere near what it was doing had this happened 30, 40, 50 years ago. Two reasons. The first reason, this is attacking, like I said, most. This is really bad for the elderly. People are living a lot longer than they used to, much, much longer, in fact. So there's a much higher population, a much higher percentage of the population is over a certain age now, and not just in this country, but in many parts of the world. As Italy especially, they have a very high elderly population. And because of that, when you have something like this and they are susceptible to it, they are going to be the first hit and worst hit, and the numbers will be way up. We didn't even have anywhere near the number of elderly countrywide and worldwide that we have now 30 or 40 years ago. So the numbers really wouldn't be anywhere near as high. We wouldn't be talking about it as much. And as a side note, as somebody who has had two grandparents who just recently passed away in the past couple of years, one was 98, one was 95. There was one before that who was 88. These people are living a very long time. This is a difficult subject because I know it doesn't count for everybody. I know there are plenty of people who have elderly relatives in their 80s and even in their 90s who they say they're perfectly happy people. But let me tell you, you walk through some retirement homes and things like that, and you take a look around, you talk to people in their 80s and 90s, there is a shocking percentage of people who are in there who are not happy. They don't want to be here anymore. Mainly because their bodies are so shot. We're so great at keeping them alive, no matter what is wrong with them. Mind and body, so many. And they just, you can tell they're absolutely miserable. These poor people are miserable. And there's so many of them. And if you ask them, and they would honestly look you right in the eye and say, "You let me go. It's done. I had a good life. It's over. I don't want to live this way anymore. I'm not happy. I've lived a very long life. I don't want to continue to be a burden to my family and to everybody around me. And if you asked, if my grandfather got corona, if he was still around for this, right, and he got coronavirus and he's 96 or whatever, he would have absolutely, if he had been capable of, he would have flipped out on anybody who said, you know, who desperately tried to save him and, you know, he was going down and said, you know, waste, you know, all our, the family, we don't have a lot of money, saying to try and save him, waste the hospital resources. He would have been the first one to say, don't you dare do that for me. It's done. This is it. Maybe this is God saying, it's over. I'm 96 years old. It's over. Do not waste the time and money of the future of this world on me. These people are very selfless, you have to remember. They come from a very selfless generation. And I'm not saying we should be killing off people who are elderly. And I'm not saying there are people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s who are very happy and do want to live. But there is a very high percentage of people who don't and believe that we are wasting time, money, and resources on keeping them alive when they just don't want to be anymore. And we have to accept that and remember that that is their wishes as well. And remember that their lives are kind of, they can't move, their minds and bodies are not right. That's really who I'm talking about. But again, those are the people most affected by this virus. And we have so many of them. And I'm not saying we shouldn't fight to keep them alive. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's something to think about. With an elderly population, which is people living so long, and our capability to keep them alive, even when they very clearly are in horrible condition and are very unhappy. And these are things that we sometimes have to remember and have to address and think about. Like I said, I went through this. Both my grandparents would have been much happier to go a little bit earlier, maybe a lot earlier before everything started to break down for them. That's all I'm saying. And it was a tremendous strain on us. It was a tremendous strain on everybody. But in the end, this is who it's going after. But here's the other thing. Look what else is happening. This panic, this fear, forget the elderly for a second. They probably respond great to this because they lived through certain things. The people who have not lived through certain things, this has exposed the fragility and dependency of the populace. These people are terrified because they are completely dependent on the government and on just about everything that we have on a daily basis that they really don't think about much, don't really have to do much. We don't have any means of self-sufficiency anymore. It's shocking how little we actually can accomplish on our own. This exposes the complete lack of individuality. This exposes people's fear of being forced to do anything on their own. Forget survival. I mean, these people are flipping out because they can't get haircuts or toilet paper or hand sanitizer. They're flipping out because they can't get their, you know, they can't go out to the restaurant. People are flipping out because they can't cook for themselves anymore and they have to stay home. This is a wake-up call. The reason why, part of the reason why there is this panic is because the populace has become this way. And this is also why we have such a high percentage of people who want socialism now. Because they know they have to be cared for. They're scared. Self-sufficiency is not their thing. They want, you notice that, I think it was Candace Owens mentioned this. People on both sides of the aisle are suddenly pulling for government intervention and government this and government that and government giving you money and saying, you know, we'll take care of you. And I'm not saying the government should react. They obviously should. But they're pushing for it awfully hard. It was the first thing they wanted because they absolutely, absolutely are terrified of trying to do something for themselves. That is the position in which we find ourselves after decades and decades of going down the dependability path. And socialists like Sanders are trying to take advantage of that. They're trying to take advantage of the fact that there are so many people who really are helpless and hopeless and saying, no, we can't do anything on our own. We really can't. This virus hits during the 40s and 50s. With the lack of the elderly, for example, and the lack of the infirm, let's not forget how many people out there who have health problems, way more higher percentage, much higher percentage than 40, 50 years ago. We have problems with obesity. We have problems, which leads to about a million other problems. You couple that with a coronavirus, yeah, you got a problem. This comes out in 1950, that's just another flu. Yep, it's going to take a few people out. Most people are going to notice. They're going to keep going to work. And they're going to get it and they're going to get over it. That's what happened with most people. And they're going to function. They are going to buckle down and say, we are going to beat this thing. I'm not asking other people for help. Trump made a great mention in that press conference where he said, you know, they are people sleeping on factory floors in World War II to get ships done, built for battle. This was the mindset of people in those in that time period. We are going to work on this. We are going to do whatever we need to do to get past this crisis. This is not the reaction now. This is, I don't know what to do. I have no idea. Tell me what to do. Yes, there are some uncertainties with the virus, but they are completely helpless. They read something online, they flip out and go for it. The hand sanitizer thing, that's not even going to do much of anything. It'll do a little. It's hardly going to protect you, A, entirely, and B, if you're nowhere near, who cares? There are so many things that they are flipping out about and they don't know anything about it. And they're not going to do any research on their own, as we've seen in the past. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to succeed. They're not going to accomplish anything on their own. They need the government at their back. And so many people are showing this. This is why it's scary. The dependability and fragility and gullibility of this populace has reached critical levels. And that is the only reason why people are flipping out. That, yes, the media is causing, but the media would not be able to take advantage so easily of a populace that was much more individually focused, that was much more optimistic, that was much less manipulated. They would not be able to do it. You try that back in the 40s. It wouldn't be so easy to manipulate the populace because there's so many self-made individuals. You know, it wouldn't have been easy to manipulate my grandparents into saying, they say, oh, this is the world's... They would have all been like, yeah, all right. Well, give me the facts. I'll take some steps on my own. That's fine. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to fly into a rage. I'm not going to freak out on people. I'm not going to start screaming. That's not what's going to happen. I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself and my family. I'm going to continue to work. I'm going to continue to do what I have to do. I will, yes, give me the information. I do want to be informed. And I will take the steps from there and do what I need to do. The last thing that they are going to would be asking for is government help. That is an absolute last resort. And in this case, with things twisted around as it is, people are saying, no, I want the help first. I don't even know what it is, but I want help. That is the mistake. That is what socialistic tendencies push. That is what has happened from liberals pushing their agenda for decades. The complete lack of individuality, the complete lack of self-sufficiency, and the belief that all of that is okay. It's not okay. So I'm begging all of you, take this as an opportunity to improve yourself. If you're home a lot more than you are and you're not going out as much, improve yourself. Eat better. Learn to cook if you don't, or learn to cook new things. Eat better. Cook better things. Exercise. Get outside. Start a garden. Get out, go for a walk in the woods instead of sitting in front of a screen or instead of running down and trying to get your crap fast food. And by the way, stay away from that at all costs anyway. This is your opportunity to improve yourself. Read more. Take an online course. Do what you can to see both sides of the issue, please. Don't flip out on everything you see. Don't jump on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and just flip out over the latest thing you saw without reading it, without reading the other side. We are obliged to do this as thinking humans, as responsible citizens. Don't give in. Don't, and both sides. You know, you got people flipping out over the fear. We also have people on the right saying, oh, you know, just shut up. Nothing's wrong, blah, blah, blah. Let's not go that far either. Let's be reasonable. Let's be intelligent. Let's be self-sufficient. Let's take a I'm going to beat this approach. Not a we're going to beat this approach. That's the government's approach, and that's the right way to do it. That's what the government is there for. For you at home right now, use this as an opportunity. If you haven't practiced the best hygiene, maybe you can admit it to yourself, then try it now. Get into a routine that lasts beyond the coronavirus. Eat better, exercise, be more informed, be closer to your family. Consider different, maybe even different career paths or new jobs or things that you want to try, places you want to travel to, things that you want to see, things that you want to do. Think more, meditate, whatever. Do something to improve yourself. Improve your position in life. Improve your position in the world. Improve your position in your own house. Be better prepared for things like this. And I don't mean prepping. Just be better prepared overall. That is what I'm asking. And remember, this is all about humanity and what they're capable of and what they're capable of overcoming. Do not look to outside sources unless it's a last resort. And when that happens, the government should be there for us. I agree. But only if we really, really need it. And beyond that, the media should be helping us, should be telling us the way things are without warping everything and trying to sell their own story to save their own asses. And that's all I've really got to say on the matter. I hope everyone remains safe and sane. And we will get through this so long as we continue to push individually, each one of us, to strive and be better. This is a wake-up call. To be better in everything, to not be so dependent, to be more self-sufficient, to not trust everything at the drop of a hat, to not freak out, to not panic, to not spread that fear, to say, what fear? We're strong, we're going to take care of this, we have the information, we know there are steps that need to be taken, and we're going to do it. We can be without our, you know, so-called necessities for a few weeks. Amazingly enough, somehow we'll survive, really. Take these steps. Think about it. And that's really the end result for me. This is perfect. I've been screaming about it for years. Something is going to come along that exposes human inability and the regression that we've been facing and the death of the individual and that optimism and verve and yes, I can attitude that has been dying over the past decades that my grandparents absolutely had. And your grandparents probably had. That is my message for today. I hope you appreciate it. Please spread it around. I think it's worth listening to. Yes, I did go a little longer today, but I think I had to. I think it was necessary. And like I said, everybody stay safe. Everybody stay sane. And I will be back again next week. I might give you a little bit of an update on this, but I will be focusing on a different topic. We will be moving on because that is what humanity does. It solves and it moves on. And thank you, and I will see you again next week.